We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we journey with you to the cross, reminding us of the tremendous gift we have all been given of life and salvation. As we focus again on one of those significant events of that holy week when you gave everything for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Our journey is to places of the Passion. Last week, we began in Jerusalem, where all of it begins in the events of Holy Week. This week, we come to a little village outside of Jerusalem, Bethany. We don't usually think of it when we think about the Passion of our Lord, and yet, as we journey, it does take us to a place of significance as Jesus suffers and dies in our place. And I was preparing for this. One of the things I learned is that there was a movie in 1987 called Babette's Feast. I'm sure you all remember it. Not. Because it's a foreign film with English subtitles. And if you're like me, I struggle with that, trying to read and listen at the same time. I know I had never heard of it before I began to prepare for this service, but Babette was a very talented chef in that great and wonderful city of Paris. But one day the authorities became upset with her, and so Babette was kicked out of Paris. Imagine that. And so she decides, I have to go somewhere. So she goes north to a little Danish fishing village. Now, if you've been in some of those places, you know, some of those little fishing villages are quite quaint. It's a small religious community. And because, well, they might have been Lutheran because they're rather hard-hearted. No, I mean, they were very set in their ways. They were really marked by one word, get. Get back, get ahead, get even, and whatever you do, get revenge. And as she comes to this village, the village takes her in. And they said she could be their cook and their maid, and so she would cook for them. But they had one condition to her cooking. You know, they're pretty set in their ways, so the cooking had to be very bland. Because that's how they ate their food. Very bland. And sometimes when we are so set in our ways, that's how our life becomes. Very bland. Well, one day the community is kind of taken back because somehow Babette has won a lottery in Paris and she receives this great significant gift of money. But Babette is so taken in by this community that has taken her in to be their cook and their maid, she decides to fix for them this fantastic feast. And being one of the best chefs in Paris, you can about imagine what that feast was like. It had all the delicacies. It had fine wine and some of the best food you could buy, at least in the world of that time. And so when they came together for the feast, the people of the village now tasted something they never tasted before. And they were overcome by this tremendous food that wasn't bland. It was very rich in all kinds of things, and it changed the whole attitude of the village. The village found that they ate this good food, and they found that their relationships were better with one another. They forgot about a lot of the arguments they had with one another. You know what it's like living in a small village, you just argue with one another. But they had forgotten about a lot of that, and they had forgotten about the past sins, and it asked for forgiveness. And when evening comes, the village, after eating this tremendous feast, all gathers together in the evening air to sing together that great doxology. Simply, Babette had replaced the word get with the word give. Babette had given freely of all that she had received. She had given it back to the village. She had done extraordinary and extravagant things for them, and Babette gave it joyfully. But as the community would learn, Babette gave it her all. Everything she had to provide a feast. Left with nothing, she now had closed the door on any future for herself. She could not return to Paris and open some world-famous restaurant because she had given it all to this small little Danish fishing village. Well, what's that got to do with our Lord's passion? Well, let's go to Bethany, that small little village outside of Jerusalem, probably about a mile outside of Jerusalem. It's kind of like one of the suburbs of Denver. Jesus was staying there. Where was he staying? In the home of Simon. Who was Simon? Simon was the leper who had been healed. Consider, why is he staying at Bethany? Well, it's the time of the Passover. And of course, this Jerusalem at that time, some of the experts say, was probably about 30,000 people. And during the Passover, it just swelled to 180,000. So imagine what it must have been like. And it brings us back to when our Lord was born in Bethlehem. How crowded the city was. And so it was here. Places to stay were at a premium. And then we find that Jesus is staying at the home of Simon, who was at Bethany. Why Bethany? Because that's where Simon lived. This is the one whom Jesus had healed. The one who had had few visitors because he was a leper for so long. And now here he is hosting our Lord, hosting his disciples. And oh yes, guess what? We have a little extra point to this text because here that Jesus is with his disciples, but we also find Mary was with them. What's significant about that? Well, women are not in public with men at this particular time. And here she is with the disciples, with Jesus. Here's Mary, the Babette of the Bible. She's about to teach them about giving. The context. We got to go to the book of John, chapter 12, in the third verse, where it says, Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And then in our text, in the Matthew text, verse 7, it says, a woman came up with him, up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head. The reaction was swift. Disciples, infuriated because they're a lot like us, or maybe we should say we're a lot like them. They were concerned about getting what we could have gotten from this very expensive gift. Perfume, we are told at that time that she used, would cost about a year's wages. So let's put it into perspective. In our culture, at our time, the average income of an American is $46,000 for 1 year. That's all she paid for this. If we put it in our perspective, $46,000 for this little jar of ointment. That's a lot of money. And Mary, she does two amazing things while she is there with the disciples. She pours out this very expensive perfume without a care in the world. She wants to anoint her Lord, her Savior. She wants to anoint him in a very special way. Second of all, she pours it on his head. Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament, expensive perfumes were reserved for kings and to be poured on the heads of kings. Mary is making a statement. Jesus is king. Oh, but wait, that's Matthew's gospel for us. Earlier we read in Matthew's gospel in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, Jesus is called King of the Jews. In chapter 21, verse 5, Jesus is referred as, see your king coming to you. And of course, above his cross, we read those words, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Mary had replaced the word get with the word give. Why is that important? Mary goes over the top. She's extravagant and excessive in what she does. How do the disciples receive that? They're indignant. They are upset. They could have sold this for a large sum of money. And they had all these reasons why this was not a good thing. And it showed the greediness. How many times do we identify with those disciples? If only we had done this, or if we had only got this. And we could go on with a whole list of things because that's how we often are by our human nature. Let's get what's in it for me. And yet, when we come to the cross, what do we see? Our Lord came to this very special week for a reason. And when he did, he had you and me and the whole world in mind. Yes, she had done a beautiful thing. In fact, in Matthew 26, verse 12, we read these words, in pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. That was also the other part of it, that it could be used for burial. She was preparing our Lord for what was yet to come. Because you see, our Lord came to serve, not to be served. He came to serve each one of us. He was the great gift giver. He gave his all for you and for me. The cross implied death, betrayal by Judas, denial by Peter, sentenced by Pilate, scourged by soldiers, mocked by crowds, and ultimately abandoned by his Father in heaven so that he could pay a debt, your debt, my debt. The room filled with the smell of expensive perfume. And think about that, smell triggers memories. The smell of a certain perfume brings memory of one's grandma or mother who is no longer with you. The smell of roses may remind you of that first bouquet of roses you see received as that token of love. Yes, smells are important. Thinking leads us to the thinking part of the brain. Smells takes us to our emotional part of the brain. Smells can stir up all kinds of emotions within us. The smell of perfume. Did it stir up emotions for our Lord there in Bethany? He had already set his eyes on the cross. Truly, I say to you, Matthew says, whenever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of me. So we come to Bethany, to the house of Simon, to the babette of the Bible, Mary. She shares with us the message of the gospel of what our Lord gives on our behalf. And so as we journey once again to that cross, as we journey to Holy Week, we should never forget what Christ gave us. So often we are fixed on getting, when the real meaning to life is what we have been given. Why do we give? Because he first gave for us. Think about that this week. Is it about getting? Or is it about giving? Amen.